Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to. Courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Where is Gaga? Where's LG6? Where's Rihanna's album?
A lot of questions that TBD will get answered in 2020.
Gaga needs to stop tweeting and come out with an album.
I'm ready for her to have an acting journey and then have another album come out. I can sit and marinate with Joanne. I think we all need to sit and marinate with Joanne for a little bit longer.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think she's going to be in the new Rocky Horror Picture. Or no, not Rocky Horror. Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, chic. I didn't even know that that was happening.
I think she's in talks, as according to Deadline.
Love.
And Variety.
Love. What does Hollywood Reporter say?
I don't know.
Who knows?
Deadline. Nikki Fink,
who is not even with Deadline anymore.
I think she's started her rogue faction.
I think she is NikkiFink.com.
Nikki Fink. Remember when she was
she's really into takedowns on NikkiFink.com. When I was in my Mad Men phase, she wrote a whole thing about why January Jones's career never took off. It was six reasons why January Jones never became the star she was meant to be. And I was damn, you have a real axe to grind here, Nikki.
Remember Nikki Swift? Have you been on Nikki Swift, the YouTube channel?
No.
Where it's Nikki Swift, I feel like it's... Listeners, by the way, this is Carrie.
This is Lara.
And this is Sexy Unique.
This is Tough Sicilian Bitches.
This is Tough Sicilian Bitches on
this
Sexy
Unique. Tough Sicilian Bitches.
Tough Sicilian Bitches on Sexy Unique Podcast. But Nikki Swift is a weird gossip site, and they do these videos on YouTube, and they all have 8 million views, and it's why Hollywood doesn't want to hire Hilary Duff anymore or something, or some actress who's actually doing fine.
Maybe it was Nikki Swift that I was on, but it seemed comprehensive. And that's YouTube only?
It's YouTube and But it, and it's always like this woman's voice who sounds almost vaguely like Russian. And like
just Russian propaganda.
I have to pull it up because they sound like a bot or something. Is this like talking shit about Julia Stiles?
It's probably an AI, like those children's videos that just get made in like an AI vortex.
Yeah. But they go after like this article. Sketchy things everyone just ignores about Jimmy Fallon.
Tonight Show, but beneath his well-tailored suit and big grin, it looks like Jimmy Fallon has a shady side. From his alleged alcoholism to his racially insensitive humor, here's a closer look at the funny man's more questionable antics. In 2014, Jimmy Fallon's Saturday Night Live co-star Horatio Sanz claimed the affable comic had a penchant for booze. Sanz told Vulture, "We were super functioning alcoholics, definitely. They say that kind of goes hand in hand with SNL, some kind of substance abuse issues, because it's so stressful you easily find yourself blowing off steam a lot.
People ask me." So it's like that. It's like,
it is an AI voice.
Isn't it not human?
No. It's Uncanny Valley as a voice.
And it's like sketchy things everyone just ignores about Meghan Markle.
It's
something.
Like how Sheena talks. Yeah. She kind of talks like a robot.
It's very Sheena on the beat.
It's full Sheena on the beat.
You might have been, but I think Nikki Fink takes people down too.
Yeah, Nikki Fink is just like an internet troll, but I guess is worth like millions now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Remember when Diane Keaton was going to play Nikki Fink? There was a moment where I think someone had sold a show based on Deadline, and
really?
Diane Keaton was attached to play Nikki Fink,
oh my
and
God.
Then the show never went. Missed opportunity. Hollywood, when are you going to learn?
6 reasons why Hollywood can't trust Jimmy Fallon. The king of con, and it's like
6 reasons Jimmy Fallon is sketchy.
Yeah. Things that just don't seem right about Jimmy Fallon. 1. Da-na-na-na. It's like,
it's so weird.
Where are you broadcasting from?
Also, yeah, from a cave.
But like also maybe in
Russia.
Like Ukraine.
Yeah. In Crimea.
In Crimea. Nikki Swift is based in Crimea. She's
just
based
telling
in,
the world.
She's based in Minsk. In Belarus. I had a period where I was obsessed with Minsk.
I love that.
On Instagram, I would go through like geotags when I was like drinking wine alone at night.
Mm-hmm.
I would like go through.
And you would look at everything from Minsk? All
I would
the
like
content
go,
coming out of Minsk?
Yeah, I would go to Minsk, clear geotag, and just look at like people just having a wet and wild time.
Wow, what were they doing?
Like at clubs.
Cool.
One club was called like Club New York or something, and it was like, it looked like Beauty in Essex, but like in Minsk. And all these like dolled up like Belarusian girls, and like there are like men behind them.
Need to go. I need to go to the Soviet Union.
You do?
I'm ready.
On Instagram or IRL?
Both.
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
Well, I'm a German from Russia, like my lineage.
Oh,
so I need to get back to the motherland.
Okay.
My potato farming ancestors were lured over by Catherine the Great.
I just don't
have to leave before when things got too real.
Just don't go on Grindr.
Don't worry, I won't.
they'll hunt you down on Grindr.
I know. I'm gonna really like lock up my lesbian tendencies. Well, I haven't gone on dating apps in forever, so that's not my style.
Lara in like St. Petersburg, just like
I go full lipstick lesbian when
you're
I
like,
hit the square.
You go full like tattoo.
I'm going like full. Did you ever see the Charlize movie where she just like beat the shit out of everyone?
Atomic Blonde.
Yeah, I'm going Atomic Blonde. Mm-hmm. The moment I get to Russia and touch down, I get like full glam, wear evening gowns everywhere,
and then
slowly seduce spies
and then just kick people in the face.
Yeah and beat their ass. I have to train Danielle Staub style for months before I go in the event that I get duped.
What if Danielle would like work the CIA to like train people how to like, because they do have people who like have to train how to be like
mobsters.
No, like seductive.
She goes, what is it,
she
something
goes,
and suggest
engage,
and
then
suggest. I've been trying to engage and suggest just in the mirror lately, and it so far feels pretty good.
She's onto something.
That bitch knows what she's talking about.
Gotta be honest with you.
I've gotta be quite honest with you.
But yeah, Soviet Union, don't need to go there ever.
Yeah,
not Soviet Union, the
whatever it's called.
The Russian Federation?
The Russian Federation.
Don't need to go, but if you want to go, I'll support you.
I'm ready to go.
Not financially.
No. Really? No. That's okay.
I'm sorry.
Should I crowdfund a trip to Russia?
If you want to crowd, I will share the link.
On Facebook only.
Speaking of which, someone in the SUP Facebook group, a dear reader, posted that she used to work at Starbucks. And when people bring out this is policy, they're fucking with a customer. She like confirmed.
She knew it. So your Trenta troll was real.
So I appreciate that.
Oh my God.
I feel a little more vindicated.
Justice at last. It's been a long week where no justice has been served until this very moment.
No, I'm still reeling from the trauma of that moment, but I feel more vindicated that I wasn't just being like oversensitive.
I need to speak
to the manager, like annoying. Cake off. I wasn't just like this annoying white person.
No, you. The thing about Starbucks is they clap back.
What the Starbucks customer gets is right not about always clapping right back
at Starbucks.
No, but that's why I love it.
Six ways Starbucks claps back in 2019.
Six ways Greta Thunberg claps back.
Wait, I've been using Starbucks as my satellite office. And like, we'll go there to
the
write.
One over there.
Yeah. And I will just like,
that's a scene, that one.
Oh, it's full on. It's like one of the best places for me to just like hunker down and get shit done because I desperately want to get out of there. But at the same time, I need get out energy in order to get into my writing.
Yeah, there's an urgency.
Yeah. And then also they have everything that I need.
Good.
Quad lattes.
A sense of community.
A sense of community. Like, we're all in here together having to deal with, like, wobbly tables.
Everyone's writing their screenplay.
Everyone's, like, struggling writer energy.
When I see people writing their in final draft in public, I want to walk into traffic.
I want to scream. Yeah.
I want to go up to them and go, stop it! No! And then run into traffic.
A dark look. But the thousands of people have to do it.
No, I'm not saying, like, I'm saying, like, it makes me, like, why am I not doing this? Like, I feel like I should be doing this, too. They're ahead of the game!
Makes me really sad.
I'm like, they're ahead of the game!
Also, Starbucks grilled cheese, I just need to shout it out, is fucking delicious.
Can Starbucks just fucking sponsor this podcast at this point? Like,
literally, all I like, care about is Starbucks.
I feel like I talk about Starbucks every single fucking podcast. Like
you're a Trenta girl.
How many times have like you seen me eat Starbucks?
Starbucks, I have to stop myself. Like I have to make a conscious decision every day not to engage with a Starbucks because just from a financial perspective, it's like not smart for me.
No.
But at the same time, from a financial perspective, it's a lot smarter than other coffee options.
Yeah. I mean, think of all the other places in this town.
In this town, you could get what you get at Starbucks for like $20 a pop. And at Starbucks, it's like a sensible $10 to get like food and drink and then maybe a snack.
There's a coffee place that I will not name near me in West Hollywood that literally has like $17 drinks.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
No, you can go apeshit at those. And I am of the people in the sense that we are all bonded by Starbucks.
We are. Everywhere, there's a Starbucks open on Christmas.
Yeah. You can depend on Starbucks. And honestly, next time you're there, if you're in the mood for a grilled cheese, get one. You won't be disappointed.
And they're sous vide. Love.
Oh my God.
Those egg bites, sous vide.
I'm the egg white bites princess.
You're queen of eggs.
I'm queen of the vegetarian egg white bites. Gwyneth also said that she likes them too.
Gwyneth?
Mm-hmm.
The Duchess of Sous Vide.
The Duchess of Sous Vide has declared.
That sounds like actually.
Yeah, that would be my royal name.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I love their blueberry oatmeal.
Oh, I thought you were going to say their blueberry scones.
I also love they have a donut there,
mm-hmm.
which you wouldn't think is fucking delicious, but it is so good. It's actually like insane how good it is. I've even had a cake bite pop.
Oh, I was just going to say this. I haven't tried it.
Try the pink cake pop. That's really the only one I've tried and really took to.
It's not like a strawberry.
Don't do like a strawberry flavor, but it's like a white cake inside, a pink outside is a true must.
Well, I have to wait till I'm off keto.
Yes. That's just like a sugar pop.
I'm on keto again. I was on keto for 2 days, and then then last night I drank a Shirley Temple at dinner, and I was like, oh. So then I was like, fuck it.
So you now have to reset, mm-hmm. and now you're day one of keto.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to try to do the 7-day clean program that's like Dr. Younger, who's like a Goop approved doctor, has like his 21-day clean program, but that's like way too much. Whoa. Like I'll actually commit murder.
You have to be really rich to do like 21-day fast.
It's way too rich. This yeah. almost is like out of my price range, but if I can squeeze the purse strings this month, I might be able to make it work.
What does it entail?
It entails, it's like all, you identify your dosha in Ayurveda. So there's Vata, Pitta, and Kapha, I think. One is like you run really hot, one's like you run cold, and then I don't know about the other one. And then you eat a diet according, you eat according to what your dosha is in Ayurveda. So, and they introduce, I think you have to infrared sauna every day, so that's an expense. And you have to use these clean program shakes, which are, I think, $180 or something.
Where do you infrared sauna?
I don't know. So that's, I have to do a lot of research. I know on ClassPass you can get infrared saunas, like in certain boutiques, like around LA.
So you do it for 7 days.
And you do it for 7 days, and you intermittent fast. You introduce intermittent fasting leading up to, I think, in the middle of the 7-day program, you do a full 24-hour fast day, which is like.
Do you drink water?
I think. I'm not really sure. I'm still researching.
You have to be able to drink water.
But you stop after you eat lunch, then you fast until lunch the next day, which seems actually like a better way to fast than like
not eating at all.
Not eating for a whole day.
Wow.
But it's like supposed to be a good reset or something. I'm intrigued.
Do you like lose a lot of weight?
I don't think it's the weight loss is the point. I think it's just like more mental clarity, more energy. You're like, weight loss are best.
No,
I go, no, I don't think so. And Craig goes, oh.
No, I think the reset is cool. Infrared sauna sounds amazing. And I think I like the idea of like eating lunch, because then you can eat a huge lunch. Right?
I think you still have to be like pretty portion. Like it seems really starvation centric, which I don't respond well to, because once I start limiting food, I get more hungry. Like I have really bad food anxiety, is like there's never going to be enough food. So, and that triggers it.
That's why keto has been, when I've done it, it's been like nice, because you can still eat a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to eat.
You're encouraged just to eat like meat and cheese.
And broccoli.
I love that.
So you're just very gaseous.
But I could get really, really sick of that in like 3 days.
That's the thing. It gets really tiring and like almost depressing.
It's just like so salt. It's like so salty. You never get a sweet reprieve.
I did last night. My reaction was like not okay when I went, oh.
Oh.
Well, that's the thing. Your weight, you lose a lot of water weight really fast. So it just, you look on this, you're like, oh.
Yeah. It's but like, then can you keep it going?
You plateau, or does it plateau? Some point, and then you can keep
then
going.
You have to push through the plateau. Every diet is such a troll.
It is.
Can you just put me in a coma and like let me just waste away for a month and then be like,
can you imagine if that's the future,
like, to my heart, and then like get me back in the game?
Medically induced
weight loss comas? Coma? Or like there has to be a pill, like can't someone just develop a pill that's like not Adderall or like amphetamine that you can take that just like melts your fat off? I mean, there are now machines being made and like treatments that you can get where you strap yourself, like you put a machine like over your belly or wherever you want to lose weight from, and it is the equivalent, like it just jiggles all your muscles and like sends deep frequencies into them. That's the equivalent of doing 10,000 sit-ups.
Oh, it's,
and you do like 3 of those sessions, which retail for a cool like $6,000. And then you have like, it just like melts off. You get like abs.
I saw it on Real Housewives of Dallas.
Yeah.
They do, it's called 90 and 20.
Yeah, there's different ones. My stepmom's getting one of those at her med spa. And I'm trying to fly back to Oklahoma and get, I'm trying to get like alien abduction level hooked up to like, there's one on my ass, stomach, thighs, just all going at the same time, just jiggling me into like,
I want to do that.
I don't want to work out anymore. I don't want to have to eat healthy.
There was an amazing moment in Real Housewives of Atlanta where Kim Zolciak was eating, laying in a bed, wearing like some like ab machine, eating pizza and smoking cigarettes and getting like a facial or something. Amazing.
It's amazing.
Britney Spears, I think, used to do like 10,000 sit-ups or something.
She used to be like, she
still looks amazing.
She looks incredible, but all she can do is like work out.
I know.
She's a prisoner.
Her latest Instagram, she has one of just a leopard staring.
I love that.
But she had one where she was like, just flew back from my trip from the holidays and here are my babies. And it's just these two dogs. And she goes, I love you, my babies. And then it just goes to her doing yoga.
Her life is like, she sometimes gets dogs as a treat. And then she's like forced to work out.
Do they cut the videos for her? Or do you think she does it herself? I think she kind of does it.
I think she's in charge of a lot. They've given her a few responsibilities. But ultimately, she will just be a slave to her family forever, I guess. Remember when all that shit was going down about her dad? Like, people got up in arms about it again, and then she had to release... She, like, released some statement that on Instagram that was like, everything is fine. I am so happy, and there is nothing wrong. Thank you.
Yeah,
I'm glad you are concerned, but trust, it all is taken care of. She is a slave to the Federation.
Yeah, that whole movement of like Free Britney, which continues, like I get the sentiment, like she, but also it also upset me in a way, because I'm like, okay, guys, she's mentally ill and she needs, like, she had a mental breakdown and like needed help, and like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but can't you recover from that? Has she recovered? Like, I'd feel like I would love to just know more about what exactly happened, and then like where she is now.
I wish Britney
found out that she was like bipolar.
I wish Britney would talk about it more.
But I feel like her Southern family is not open to that.
Yeah, but like everyone, like I wish she, because like she's alluded that she's like had some struggles in the past, but like I wish she, if she in her Britney way kind of broke it down and was like, look, and she did kind of say it in that statement. She was like, I had some problems. I'm in a conservatorship. Like, this is just how it is.
Yeah.
But like, I wish she was a little more, but you know what? It's none of my business. And she wants to live her life the way she lives it. She seems healthy. She's a hot fucking boyfriend.
Yeah.
Who like, seems like he worships her.
Mm-hmm.
And
maybe she'll write a tell all one day. Her memoirs. She'll hire a ghostwriter to do it. But I mean,
I don't think she will. I think she's just going to be doing this forever. I don't think she wants to make music anymore.
Yeah, I can tell.
No shit.
Yeah, you don't say. Yeah, really, the passion's not still there. Yeah. Could have fooled me.
She's like smoked cigarettes in the studio. Did you see that picture of her with like
her music is just all recorded by other people's voices that are digitally manipulated to sound like hers. Yeah, it's like, and then she lip syncs. So, I mean, love and light, bitch. But like,
I just have to say, there's been a few videos that she's posted on Instagram where, oh my God, she did a video a few months ago where she was doing some sick choreography, I think from Slave For You, like the act, and she looked,
she really was killing
it. She was turning it the fuck out, like old Britney was back, like I was like, this is where she is, she's been hiding this from us.
Yeah.
She's been here all along. I think she was just punishing us, which I totally respect. And
was withholding.
But someone recently said it to Jellico Cats. Jellico Cats, da-da-da-da. I'll play it for you.
Play it, because I actually don't know that song.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not a cat's head. I never saw it.
I mean...
But you know it, and you are like a Jellico cat.
Jellico?
Is it Jellico?
Jellico.
What's a Jellico?
A Jellico cat is their name of their tribe. It's taken from a T.S. Eliot poem.
Okay.
Hold on.
Honestly, if someone can write cats and it is such a thing. You can do anything. Oh my God, I'm crying. Wait, okay. That song, the energy of that song is was enough to let me know that I can never see the Cats movie. I actually, like, my soul can never come face to face with that energy on screen.
But it matches Britney so well.
Yeah, Britney is killing the Jellicle Cat game.
Speaking of killing, so
we're worried for Danielle's life.
Country Clubbed is the iconic episode we've been waiting for.
Country Clubbed is such an offensive name for an episode, but I'm here for it. I have like 5 pages of notes on just the first 5 minutes of this, because I wanted to get every single thing that happened and like document it. I went True Detective season 3 on the first 5 minutes of this episode.
Well, when we laugh less off,
brain. I'm sorry, but I think that if you saw Cats in theater and subjected yourself to that, you're gonna have like an aneurysm at some point in your life.
Like when people like roll like 10 years later.
They're like, I believe, blah, 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 blah. And then they like their speech patterns get disrupted. Mm-hmm. You had a like an acid flashback of your cat's trauma.
Ecstasy flashback. Well, when we last left off, Teresa and Danielle were facing off at the Posh Fashion Show. Teresa said hello to Danielle, but like did it to fuck with her.
Just want to say hi.
Just want to say hello.
Just want to say hi.
And then she goes, I don't think this is a very friendly conversation. And then Teresa goes, oh, you want me to say bitch, you old hag?
You're an old hag. Okay, bitch. Is that better? And then Danielle goes, that's a fuck enough. That's a fuck enough.
And then Teresa says something else, and then Danielle's eyes literally bug out of her head, and she goes, "Don't you ever fucking attack me?"
And then Teresa goes,
"She goes, you threw a fucking table at me." And Teresa goes,
"No, I didn't, baby. No, I didn't. I'm from Patterson. Did you forget?" And like,
and she's like, she goes, oh, I know what the house you grew up in before the mansion. And then Teresa goes, that's right, bitch. I live in a $5 million mansion. And she goes, and it's in foreclosure. And then Danielle bolts. She runs away like a witch.
What I learned during this episode was that you never tell Teresa that her house is in foreclosure.
Never tell Teresa anything that's true.
Yeah.
Because she'll rattle.
Will fucking go, like, she will hunt you down and she will kill you.
So as soon as Danielle says that,
Kim G out of the way.
Kim G goes flying across the room. Danielle,
and it's in foreclosure. Speedy Gonzalez is out of there.
And then Teresa goes charging. She shoves Kim G across clear. It's like the movie Carrie. She's like shoving her mom across.
And then Kim G's like, calm down, just sit. And then Teresa shoves her off. She goes, my house is not in foreclosure, bitch.
And then Jacqueline's running behind Teresa going, I read the court files, Danielle. You beat someone with a 9mm pestle. And then all these women are just like coming out of the woodwork. They're all grabbing Teresa. They're all trying to pull her back. Teresa's just full shoving everyone. She shoves
Danielle. She goes out of the hallway, goes back into the dining room where she's just running. She's full
bodyguard
steam ahead.
Her bodyguard shoves flipping. Teresa.
Yeah, no. Tables are like, chairs are falling over. There's crashing glass everywhere as Danielle tries to get through the dining room.
My heel is broken.
Get away from me. Get away from me. And her bodyguard has like a hold on her shoulder. She goes, don't hold me.
Yeah.
And then she shoves Danielle. There's one point as she's trying to get back out. There's a door between her and like the exit. And there's an elderly woman like with short white hair. You know that she's just like, what's happening? Danielle physically shoved that elderly woman out of her way and started tearing through the exit.
Also, there was one point where a woman who was wearing dark sunglasses at night and gray hair, who looked like she was in disguise, just randomly, Danielle runs by her and you just see her turn her head and shake her head at the camera. And then Teresa runs through and this other woman goes, she goes, what the fuck is happening here?
And then, like, there's a point where when Jacqueline's screaming and running after Danielle, there's one girl, and you see her face, and she's like, like, watching with, like, a smile on her face.
Oh, everyone's, like, people are half horrified, half are loving it.
Teresa's chasing Danielle, and some lady, like, she goes through a doorway, and some blonde lady just, like, lovingly caresses Teresa's hair, like, as she's on her, like, bull in a china shop hair. Like, so they're being equally supported and, like, abhorred by the community.
Well, I think everyone in that area knows how hot-headed Teresa is, so I think they just feel like they can, like, pet her and, like,
they love to see it,
coo her like a kitty. She'll, like, calm down.
Yeah,
but she goes bolting out, and then Kim G stops her. I think
Danielle goes, I broke a heel,
and then
Danielle's running, and it's really sad because she really didn't think she was gonna break the heels tonight. She really, I think that's what upsets her the most.
Yeah,
probably.
Then she runs outside.
You Kokor.
I love how Kokor is the running theme.
Who are the women that are, like, grabbing? At one point, Teresa has a woman on each arm, like, desperately trying to hold her back.
I think they're all just women they know from, like, Wayne and like, Tawahawk or whatever the fuck she lived.
That blonde woman who goes, this is such fucking bullshit.
She was amazing. She was really taking it seriously.
Yeah, she couldn't believe it.
Wait, what town is Teresa live in? Let me look. Sheldon, North Jersey head. Sorry about this.
Sorry.
I don't know where Teresa
lives. I'm from Patterson. Did you forget?
Hold on. Tawako.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. In Montville. So I think they all just know.
Everyone gathers in Wayne.
So Danielle bolts outside. She's
hiding.
She runs behind the exit, the entryway, in the bushes. And she's going, oh, get me out of here. Get me out of here.
Hyperventilating.
Keep her away from me. And then Kim G.
I'm going to pass out.
And then Kim G comes over and she goes, oh, baby. She goes, get out of there. What are you doing over there? And it's like,
I love Kim G.
I know.
And then Teresa.
Kim G goes, get over here. To Danielle.
She's trying to, like, get her away, but Danielle's now, like, hiding in the corner. Teresa is lit and unable to be reasoned with. Danielle also, she's like, I can't move!
This is the happiest Danielle's ever been, by the way.
Yeah, she's, like, crying. This is her Midsommar.
Oh, this is her opus, this moment. Like, she's never been more
She's the flower princess.
She feels amazing.
And then, at one point, Kim G goes, Harry, put her in the car!
And then Harry takes her
then they are finally get Danielle, like, up, and she's flanked by Harry and the bodyguard.
Yeah.
And that's when Ashley decides to strut up with her purse, like, hooked onto her elbow. Ashley, by the way, has fully ascended into model dimension, and I don't think she's gonna go back to, like,
mortal
Jersey dimension.
No.
Like, she's now, she's modeled, it's unleashed a whole new Ashley beast.
She lost her marbles.
And this is where the turning has taken place. And now
turning.
All you see is, like, model Ashley.
She saw, there was a shot of her looking on at the thing, and she's, like, looking, she's outside, and the rage in her eyes, like, she's like, this is my moment, like, I must kill.
And I love that she carries her purse with her.
Yeah, her little stringy bag.
Yeah, on her elbow, and she struts up to Danielle and yanks her hair.
Really hard.
Really hard. She goes, who do you think you are?
And then Danielle goes, oh! And her hair falls back. And then her bodyguard takes her and carries her across the parking lot. And then she goes, Ashley, that bitch!
That fucking bitch! And then Ashley goes, love and light, stay in the positive, bitch!
And then Jacqueline's like, get the fuck back inside! All the women start shielding Ashley and bringing her back in.
And then as Dennis is carrying Danielle, bodyguard style,
she goes, behind you!
She's behind you. And Teresa's like,
Teresa's like a linebacker.
Harry is like slowly backwards walking, trying to keep Teresa at bay.
He goes, you're like a gazelle, Teresa. He's like, you're too fast.
And Teresa's like smiling, but she's fully gone. Like
there's nothing behind
red,
her eyes.
And she's like, nah, I just want to talk to her. Yeah. I just want to talk to her. It's fine. Just
she goes, I'm fine. It's Harry. She goes, nah, I'm good. I swear on my children's life. I swear. And there's literally nothing but red behind her eyes.
No, it's like she's fully gone. And then it cuts to Ashley, who's gone back into the country club. And Ashley goes, I fucking pulled her hair out of her head. And her friend goes, Ashley.
And then Jacqueline's like, I started hearing rumors. This is all within 5 minutes.
This is not even 5 minutes and 36 seconds into the episode.
She goes, I started hearing things that Ashley pulled Danielle's hair. And I was like, oh, God. So Jacqueline's now like having a heart attack. Because she's like, my daughter's... Because she knows how insane Danielle is. And she's going to make this. This is exactly... Ashley gave Danielle everything that
she played
needed.
Right into Danielle's hands. And then Kim G's just going, put her in the car!
So they get in the car.
And then Harry guards the Bentley.
And Teresa is just stalking the car.
And then she goes past and Jacqueline is like, stop! And she goes, Jacqueline, off!
Yeah.
And like...
But do you love how great Danielle... Or Teresa is smiling...
It's truly, that's the most bone chilling thing to me is like Teresa's blind rage and her inability. Because if you really look back at this episode, Teresa's the one that started it.
Well, if we're going to get technical, Kim D started it.
That's true.
But Teresa definitely.
Kim D lit the fire and then Teresa lit the flamethrower.
She threw the first brick at the North Jersey Country Club.
She did. She knew exactly what she was trying to do.
Yeah.
To get like a brawl going or whatever. And she like, when Danielle said, don't call me honey, then that's when Teresa fully snapped. Yeah. And she escalated it to a point where it turned into a fight.
She gets off on brawls, I think.
She likes physical violence.
Yeah. So she just needed her fix that night. She had a little alcohol in her and she was ready to go. And she was like ready. So this is
her like mom's night out. Like she's been cooped up with a newborn and she really has had to like keep it cool.
And she has all this rage, probably at Joe, because she knows what's coming.
She knows their house is in foreclosure.
She knows, like, how much shit they're like gonna get. So she's probably has all this like misplaced rage. It has to get out somehow.
Yeah.
Or else she's gonna take it out on her family.
On her kids.
So she's like, you know that Momo, that like meme of that looks like Momo.
She is Momo. She's channeling Momo.
She's like the Babadook, like in the night with like a giant like that glass smile.
She is Momo's smile.
She's going, I just want to talk to the bitch.
I'm getting actual like terrifying chills thinking about Teresa coming for me in the night with that smile on her face.
Jacqueline goes, Teresa, what are you doing? And she goes, I just want to talk to the bitch. I just want to talk to her. And she's just, because she said, don't you say my house is in foreclosure. Like she's in.
That set her.
Oh, that was.
That was you never say the words foreclosure to Teresa.
And then so Teresa gets taken back inside. Mm-hmm. And then Jacqueline just
stands
with
there.
With her legs apart, with her hands on her hips, just guards the car. And then you hear Danielle in the backseat at one point because Kim G takes Teresa back inside. And you hear Danielle in the backseat go, you see her face shrouded in shadows, and in a very hushed voice you hear her go, look at her, that fucking skank, just staring me down. Like, such hatred. She's also stopped crying at this point.
Jacqueline just standing and staring in the car is a full mood.
With her, like, chinchilla thing. Just, yeah.
She's, like, what is she doing?
She's drunk, but I think she's probably disassociated a little, and she's like, my daughter just did something so bad.
So I'm just going to watch and make sure that, like...
nothing else happens.
Yeah, then Danielle decides to call the cops.
It's time. It was inevitable.
She goes, what I need is those women to leave me alone.
Those women... And she goes,
look at all this hair she pulled out of my head. And she has her hairball.
But I love how she tells the cop, this is Danielle Staub. I'm being chased by Teresa Giudice. Like through.
She's on a name basis where they're like, oh, Danielle, let me just
Well, they
you
say
through.
That to her. They say that like they're
it turns
used...
out she calls the cops all the time.
I think she calls the police like every week.
So just call and check in sometimes.
At one point she goes, and then you hear the operator's a woman and she goes, ma'am, calm down. She goes, all right. Calm down. Like, say it again. Like, the woman, like, clearly knows who this woman, who Danielle is.
Yeah. Danielle's always looking for a chance to call the cops. So, like, if even, like, her dog shits in the house, she'll call the cops and tell them.
But also, we missed at one point, Ashley comes out and she's by the car and she's, like, waving and, like, has her, like, just baiting.
She's doing a full, like, couture stance. Yeah. Like, she's gone into, like, modelina hell.
But she's also got a little Momo in her and she's staring at... She's staring at Jacqueline.
She's in a place of Momo.
She's staring at Danielle. Here, take a... This is... I'll upload this.
This is Ashley.
And this is Danielle. This is Teresa and Ashley. And she... And Teresa... Or Jacqueline goes, get the fuck back inside. She goes, you're a child. I'm going to deal with you later. You just fucked up. Get inside. And then Ashley goes, way to pick Danielle over your own daughter. And I was like, oh, shut the fuck up.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Ashley.
Go to bed.
Yeah.
Go home.
Fuck off.
Do your homework.
Yeah. Just like get a job.
And so she goes inside and she's like, my mom's out there picking, you know, she's like, my mom's
going to go to lunch with Danielle now. And it's like, you are so stupid.
And she goes back inside and Kim D is blackout. She's sitting, Teresa goes and sits at her table and Kim D goes, what'd you do? She goes, what'd you do outside?
Kim G says to Harry, she goes, what about my stuff? Go back in there for my stuff. And then so she gets escorted back in with Harry and everyone's kind of sat down and some women are still eating.
Yeah, people are drinking wine.
And like chilling. And Ashley is like,
she goes over and like,
she's proud. Like she's earned respect in Teresa's eyes. You can see that Teresa's thrilled.
She goes, What'd you do?
Because we're not supposed to do that. And like Kim D's hugging Ashley to her bosom. And she's like,
oh, good.
It's okay.
It's okay.
You wanted to protect your mother.
And she goes about Danielle. She goes, she's tough. I was running out to you, girlfriend.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
I love how Kim G has like little like Elaine Stritch tight legs on.
Yeah.
She's showing her long...
She's like hey, her gams.
Yeah.
She's taking her gams out. And then Kim G goes into like full comedian mode. Mm-hmm. And she like struts up to Teresa and she goes, you... What does she say? She like approaches the table.
She like she kind of like sassily, and then Teresa goes, "Don't even come near me." She's mm-hmm. like doesn't want anything to do with Kim G.
Yeah,
and then no, but Teresa, I think was sobering up at this point, and I think when she at first she was like, "Ashley, what did you do?" And then when Ashley told her, Ashley goes, "I thought she was gonna hit my mom." Like no, she didn't. And then Teresa goes, "She wasn't gonna hit your mom."
Yeah,
like she kind of calls her out a little, which I was like.
Well, also, I think that Teresa, once the cops get called, she gets real fucking squirrely.
Oh,
she won't give them her ID.
I wrote true mob shit.
Yeah.
She knows exactly. She goes, what are you talking about? She goes, I don't know what you're talking. Like, she's totally like pleading the fifth.
They go, do you have your ID with you? And she goes, no. Lie.
Yeah. And she goes, what's your name? And he's like, why are you asking me?
Why,
like,
you need to know my name?
Why? Like, she's done this
before.
She won't
answer. And then my theory is, and we'll get to this part, but when she has to tell Joe what happened, that she really had to let him know that, like, no cops got any information about them.
Because he's probably trained her. Tree, what do we do if the cops come?
Nothing. I think that, and like the house in Fargo, there was something that was like, make sure, or she was buttering him up and trying to fuck him so that we'll get there.
I think she was doing, I agree with you. I think she was trying to like ease him in. It was like when you tell your, when you've done something bad and you,
when you spend like $10,000 on your man's credit card and you're like, hun, can I pour you a glass of wine? I just want to tell you something.
Or when you do something bad and you have to tell your parents,
yeah,
but like you do it in like a cute way.
You're really cute and like squirrely, and that's like how Teresa has to be.
But I actually had a little, I thought it was a little chilling the way she was talking to the cops.
No, I went full, I was like,
She's done this before.
I was suspect.
It was very routine. And they all kind of were. Jacqueline knew what to do. Like, Jacqueline was like,
Jacqueline goes into total, like, mom, upright. She snapped into sobriety.
She goes, it's
like,
always a drama when Danielle's around. I've said it once. I've said it again.
She's the kind of woman that's like, do you want to come in? I'll make you a drink. Like, come on in. I'll make you some tea. I know this whole song and dance. You must be so tired. Like,
that's her approach.
She's really attentive.
Teresa's approach is total denial.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Why you need it?
That was, and then it was very like, it was a real moment because you see the camera kind of like parts through some people and you see them in another room and Teresa's just going like, I don't really know what went on.
What's the problem here?
What's the problem? What's going on?
Yeah.
And then you,
Ashley is proud. Like,
oh yeah.
Ashley literally, like, they tell her they're going to write her, if they write her a complaint, she might have to show up in court. And then you see Ashley flanked by her friends still holding her
Greg.
Purse like a fucking bitch.
Yeah.
And like, she's like,
thanks for walking me to the car.
Thanks for walking me a car. I might have to go to court. I don't know. And it's just like, she's never been happier in her life.
Well, the cop is like, he's like, look, we get a call from her at least once a week. Like, she's probably going to like, he's basically like, she's probably going to sue you.
Yeah.
So, but he was saying it in a way that was like rolling his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all on Ashley's side.
And also Ashley is such an idiot for A, doing this in the first place, but doing it on camera. And then verbally telling five different people within a span of 5 minutes that she did it.
Including
so she admitted to it, including the cops.
And at one point, Teresa says to the cops, she goes, about Danielle, she goes, she's the one that's the co-core, not me.
Classic. Martin Scorsese wishes he could write this dialogue.
She's a good mob wife.
Yeah, she's a great mob wife.
But then you see Danielle in the car going, and she goes, I know a voice of rage and violence, and that's Teresa. She goes, I just want to go home. I just want to go home.
I never asked for this. She goes, I didn't even want to come here.
And she says to the cop, she goes, I'm not a fighter.
Danielle deserves an Oscar.
Yeah. And then they just drive off. And,
yeah. Bye.
And she goes. So we cut to the next day and Danielle.
Everyone's gathered at Caroline's house. Tree and Jacqueline have gone over to Caroline's to tell her everything that happened the night before.
And then Danny goes over to Danielle to tell her. Danielle goes, she goes, rumor has it that they really do want to cause me bodily harm.
Yeah.
And then Danny goes, I would have been back in jail.
You can't live like this.
You can't live like this. And she goes, what do you want me dead? She goes,
once you've killed me, there's no going back.
I was like, oh my God. Danielle, this is again her mission to get sent to hell.
Yeah, but also her mission of realizing when she gets close to being sent to hell that she doesn't really want it.
She's
that
terrified.
Bad.
Now.
She's terrified of what will come.
Yeah, now she's like, oh my
and
God.
She knows the true fatality of being sent to hell. And now she's not so wild about it. But then Caroline, when she ushers Jacqueline in, she goes, I don't know if it should be a scotch or a cup of soda or a cup of coffee.
Jacqueline's like, ah! So they're like cutesy about it.
They're like delighting in violence.
Caroline loves it.
Caroline loves it, but I think there's all, like, She loves not being a part of it, but loves like hosting her like violent ladies at her house.
Yeah.
And then Tree is like wearing this like a badge of honor. I'm like, you went in full Momo mode. Like she also nothing to be proud about.
But she fully regressed in this moment in front of like they were the jesters in front of Caroline.
Mm-hmm.
And Teresa went into full like clown jester.
Yeah.
And was just like, ah, like Baby Jane, like doing a little performance, like I called her her honey and it may, you know, like, and then Caroline's just sitting there going, Teresa, you kill me. And then we come back to Danielle and she goes, this is physically let's get her. Mm-hmm. This is let's get her. Let's get her. Let's kill her.
Let's take her down.
Let's kill her. I'm like,
she is fully, and now I'm kind of like, maybe she will be killed.
Yeah, she must know.
She says, because she's like, what?
Let's physically, let's get her. Let's get her. Let's kill her. I was like, what?
Because she's also like,
you're taking this so far.
But you let Teresa, like, Teresa would beat her ass. And Danielle's not like, it's not totally out of the realm of possibility. Like, I guess Danielle's worried that, like, someone would punch her and she'd, like, $1 million baby herself.
Yeah, and she's then, like, what if I get punched? And then I fall back and hit my head and it's lights out. I'm dead. I'm not coming back. Then my daughters don't have a mom. I'm like, Jesus.
She's thought it through to, like, the very bitter end of what a brawl with Tree could look like. And, like, I kind of understand why she's bringing bodyguards to all sorts of things.
Well, she also talks about, like, getting, like, what if I'm in a bathroom at a restaurant and then someone comes in, locks the door, and beats the shit out of me? I'm like,
you have to have been violent, there to, like, know that things could get to that level.
Is she talking about the cartel?
Who did she beat with a 9mm pistol?
Well, she kidnaps, a child or something, or kidnaps someone with the cartel. That's in the book.
Wow.
She held someone for ransom.
She beat them with a 9mm pistol.
I saw your court files.
I read your court papers. You beat someone with a 9mm pistol.
That was the real estate property, not their actual house. I like when she said that.
I love that experience. Yeah. That was an investment property.
It was an investment property. But
Jacqueline's ride or die. She is a loyal bitch.
She is. But she was getting off in the drama too.
Yeah. Danielle goes, when she's telling Danny, she goes, when Teresa called me honey, it wasn't the word. It was the gesture and the tone.
Yeah, she goes, I know a voice of rage and violence, and that's Teresa. And Danny's like, Danny's just like so horny.
Yeah, he's horned up and ready,
like,
to fight.
He's like, oh, if I was there, I would have been sent back to jail.
Danielle loves hearing
she loves it.
She loves making men make decisions that send them to jail.
She also didn't sleep that night, you can tell.
No, she's shaken.
Yeah.
Visibly shaken and, like, fragile. Now, though, Jacqueline has a lot on her plate, which is basically dealing with, like, the fact that Danielle's going to press charges against Ashley.
It's her dumbass daughter.
Yeah.
We see Albie meeting. I don't care anymore. Albie looks hot in this episode.
Albie looks hot, but also, what a scammer. I'm sorry, but, like, if you get... No.
So they're trying to...
There's a rule... Yeah, sorry to interrupt. Explain the law school rule.
When you get kicked out of law school, according to Albie, and I'm sure this is how it is, when you get asked to leave law school, you have to wait 2 years to be able to apply to law school to start the process of applying again.
Which is good, because I don't want a lawyer that's been, like, kicked out of law school, like, failed out of law school and then just found another law school to go in.
So he's now going to an attorney to try to fight to get his university to recommend him, to find him a spot at another university.
This is the most, like, white privilege shit I've ever seen, which is, like, you fail out of law school. There are so many
and then you get
things
them to pay
that
for
you
it.
Go through to fail out of school. Like, you have to get warning after warning after warning. And then to be like, I have, like, ADHD or whatever. Yeah. And then, like, then to hire an attorney.
Who is, like, clearly, like,
getting paid for by your parents.
And she also looked a little suspicious of him.
Yeah. And, like, you're meeting with a lawyer to, I think his intention was to not get kicked out of school, but then she was like, the best we can do is like get them to write a letter that says that you can apply to another law school, which is like, at this point, this is how you really want to play it. I guess go for it, but you're a loser.
But yeah, you're making, it's like you're making them accountable for your shitty grades.
Yeah.
And
which
like,
is like,
also the fact that Caroline seems so shocked about it. I'm like, didn't,
so you don't just all of a sudden get kicked out of school.
Yeah, like he must have told them that like he'd been getting warnings, or maybe he lied and said he wasn't.
I just don't believe that like it's, he's making it seem like within like a week turnaround, they said like, now you're out of law school.
That's like multiple warnings.
You have to like fail a bunch of classes, don't
you? And like
you?
Not go to class.
Okay, listeners that have been to law school, let us know what's going on, because I truly, I'm like, I really think that you have to pull a bunch of shit to get kicked out of college, a private, like that you pay to go to.
They're asking him not to come back because, yeah, maybe...
Do you fail one class and you get asked not to come back? If you're doing really poorly, do you like, how big is the turnaround? Like, I need to know.
His GPA was 1.9.
That's, you did not try.
You didn't go to class. You had to go to class to get like,
to get basic. And then if you get a warning, if you know you're like, get failing, you can hire a tutor or someone.
Yeah.
Like, what? I don't understand. And if you really think that it's like a learning disability thing, let me know, because I'm open to all scenarios, but I truly think this is just like some party animal idiot that never showed up to class, was like, failing.
Oh, I'll just be a lawyer.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to be a lawyer, and then didn't realize like, oh, law school means you actually have to like go to school and study really hard.
Yeah.
He's fully Jackie Jr. from Sopranos.
Yeah.
And I'm not having one fucking bit of it.
No. And the lawyer seemed kind of like dubious of him.
I know. I love that she's like, we'll get them to write a letter, but you're going to have to do it all again. And does he actually like follow through and get into another law school?
No. He invests in Blackwater.
Classic.
So we cut to the White Range.
Danielle's taken to the range.
And she gets a call from Sadi.
Her energist.
Energist. And she goes, I was just thinking about you. She says, she goes, how good timing. I was just thinking about you, on her like, her car phone. Her like, looks really old for some reason.
Yeah, I like that Danielle is like so fragile. She, and I've been in this place of like fragility where it's just like, you're fragile and you just need to like drive.
Yeah.
In like an SUV especially is like the safest place to be when you're feeling like fragile and just need to drive. And she's just like,
she's her sleeves, she's over
like
her hands,
shriveled up with her sleeves over her hands and like a big sweater on, and she's just kind of like driving in the rain. And that's like the exact time when your energist needs to call you.
Yeah. And so Sadi's like been working with her, and she's like, she's told her all the drama, and she goes I'm just worried. She's like, I truly think that I could be killed by these women. And she goes, and I don't wake up after from that. She goes, then my kids don't have a mom. Then are you happy? And I was like, and I wrote, sent straight to hell. Sadi's trying to get her to go to hell.
Sadi is like, Sadi's trying to change her energy so that like she will no longer need to go to hell. But it's really tough.
Yeah.
It's tougher than Sadi is in over her head, maybe.
Sadi was like, unfortunately, Danielle, you do qualify for someone who is meant to be sent to hell.
One point Sadi's like, I'm tapping into my own psychic energies right now, and I am feeling like there is violence being directed towards you from these ladies, and it is a threat. So like,
I was like, don't say it to this woman.
You need to say it. So Sadi's just tapping in. I love, she's like, I'm tapping into my psychic energy.
And
when Danielle literally just said like someone ran after her trying to hurt her.
And Danielle, when she said it, goes, she goes, I knew it. And then Sadi's like, do you think I should call Jacqueline and talk to her? And then Danielle goes, maybe. And then she goes, let me pull over up here so I can text you the number, which I thought was responsible.
But then also she's pulled over not in like a place where you could pull over. Like someone has to cross the double yellow line to get around Danielle's White Range. So it's like, you're now calling, like causing like traffic emergencies.
You see her putting,
she goes, the other women are really closed off, but I think Jacqueline could be open to this kind of suggestion.
She goes, at one point I did see kindness in Jacqueline.
So I wonder also if Saadi is charging Danielle more money to call Jacqueline.
Yeah, but what money? How is she affording an Energys?
I think Danielle has way more money than we think that she has.
She has offshore accounts.
Yeah, and she's also just like taking a stand against the house because we've clearly seen her spend just as much money on clothes at Posh, her Energys.
This is all the Punisher husband.
Yeah, this
her
is all. And like at the bottom of it all, Danielle gets the pleasure of like every luxury she spends money on. It's not in any way, shape, or form going to help her sell that house.
She sends the bill just to him.
Yeah, it's incredible. She, Danielle, trolls on like six levels of troll dimension.
There are a lot of levels.
There's so many levels.
She goes, I one time saw kindness in Jacqueline, so I think it could be good. And Saadi goes, okay.
So she gives Saadi Jacqueline's number. And then in the meantime,
we cut to Tree Tree's going over to Juicy Joe, and she brings him a glass of wine. She brings over a bottle with two glasses, and he's playing pool. And she's like, hey, baby, can I tell you what happened the other night? And you can tell she's...
Want to have a little wine till I tell you what happened the other night?
And he's like looking at her like, what'd you get up to, Tree?
He knows like this knows can't be good.
And she's...
She's wearing like a low cut like tee.
She's nervous.
She's nervous and has to go into full like Charlie Chaplin clown mode.
I wrote...
She did like an improv show.
She's like using her hands and she's going, ah, like she's, and I wrote, she's straight up an Italian woman in the 1800s retelling a story about a harrowing moment she had at the market that day.
Yeah.
She's like Stregonona being like, oh, and then he came to me and I saw his face and it was the face of the devil.
Yeah. She's like, I wasn't going to get the tomatoes, and then she put her hand on and was going to get my tomato, and I said, I want to make a tomato sauce. And she said, your sauce is sick. And I said, how dare you put it on my sauce? And you know how I feel about sauce,
and
right?
And you took my pasta. You took my barrel of pasta and you put it over to mine. And I said, no, I got two barrels of pasta. And you said, no, 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 I charge you for three, but I only got two. And then I said, no, no, no. And then I kicked over the pasta and my donkey come out of nowhere and eat the pasta right out of my hands. And then I take the pasta and the donkeys and I move away. So now we have three donkeys. I'm so sorry, baby.
This is straight up old country shenanigans. Yeah, yeah. This is like a deep-seated in Italian history what's playing out right now.
And she goes, and then I went, ooh, ooh, ooh. And then Joe is like getting off on it.
Joe, though, is also just like, why are you telling me all? Like, he does not, I don't think he cares about any of the like parts that have to do with Teresa like having drama with Danielle.
No, he wants to know if the
I
cops
I want to know.
Are...
He was more concerned about cops, but I think if she makes it more about like this funny back and forth and then throws in the cops at the very end, then it's like gonna assuage Joe.
She was like, oh, and by the way, the cops came, but it was all good.
Yeah.
And then Joe's like, but he's looking at her like he's going,
yeah. And she mentions the house foreclosure thing, and then there's a one-off with Teresa's like talking to, and she goes, my house is not in foreclosure. Her house needs to be revenerated.
She goes,
it's a stank ass house. It smells like dog.
It smells like dog. Revenerated. But I also love when she goes, and then, so then Kim G comes out of nowhere, and then Joe goes, who's Kim G? she goes,
the older lady.
Poor Kim G.
Kim G is young at heart.
This episode actually made me feel bad for Kim G.
Kim G is like truly just wants to have fun.
She just wants to have fun. And I know she's like, she's put crazy her little short dress troll, on. But she was like, she gets a little more twisted in the next season, but.
Kim G has a sense of humor, though. Like, she doesn't take things too seriously.
But I love the older lady. I'm like, oh my lady. God, the running gag is that Kim is, like, old as fuck.
Teresa wants...
She's going like this. Oh my God. And then I went over there in the pasta.
And then Kim G came over. Oh my God, Mamma Mia. She probably, like, asked, like... Gia for some lessons about like how to.
Kim went. Oh, mama, I cannot bother with these things. I gotta scrub the floors, mama, for the babies, the new babies that are coming. Oh,
mama, babies are crying. And under
another
the
baby coming, mama. I gotta get it. And she was like, oh no. She's like, no, Gia, I'm not having another baby. Oh, mama, that's not true. It's almost a full moon. We gotta have the other baby. Get things ready. I boil more pasta upstairs and get ready for the new baby.
Melania heard caught wind of this cop. You know, she has one of those like little like radios where you can listen to any sort of like police scanners, and she's just to know what's going on in the neighborhood. And she's like,
Mom, if you got involved with the cops, you're fucking dead. I will throw you outside with the fucking dogs if you get those pigs involved.
You go downstairs,
you tell Dad what happened.
The night of the Posh show, she was on the transistor radio and she heard the police about the North. So she went, don't wait up for me, Gia. And she got in the ATV and drove it over, like down the highway over to the, and then sat outside.
With binoculars at the edge of the Wayne Country Club to like see what was happening.
Yeah, smoked a cigarette. And
she was like, let's see if she's a fucking rat.
Yeah. Let's see if she rats on Dad, on Pop.
She just watches.
Yeah, she's like,
all right, good. That's my girl.
Let's put her to the test.
That's my girl.
Yeah, and she's like sitting there with like a glass of wine.
She's making notes in like a teeny little notebook.
Yeah, with like a pretty
Lisa Frank pen and her teeny tiny
sassy,
little notes.
Little notepad on.
And she's making notes of everything Teresa said, and she puts it in her back pocket, and then she goes, "All right."
All right.
Flicks her cig and then rooms up the ATV and like runs and goes back into bed.
She goes, "She did good."
She good, I saw.
She did, yeah, she walks by. At one point, when they're talking, Joe's like, are you sure? Nothing else? And then Melania just comes in, walks to the room and goes, she's good. I checked her out.
She comes in, like, and it wasn't filmed on camera, but she pulls out her notebook and she's like, here are my notes from the incident. And then, like, they match Teresa's story. And so then no one has to get killed that
and
night.
She pours herself a glass of red, chugs it, and then, like, leaves.
I'm tired. I'm going to bed.
I'm going to bed.
Don't make any fucking noise tonight.
Shut up, Gia. Where's the other one? Gabriella's like on the roof.
Yeah, Gabriella's hoof dancing on the roof.
I love you. Gabriella, oh, Mama, I can't be bothered with this stuff, Mama. These cuckoo things.
No, Mama, it's too much drama.
No, no, no. These crazy things you get me into. I cannot even comment.
Oh, the drama is so bad for the baby. I'm just trying to sing some Italian song to go to sleep.
I have to go outside. I go boil pasta upstairs for baby.
She always sleeps better if there's pasta boiling in the kitchen.
Oh, Mama, I can't talk about these things. I go away now. And she goes upstairs with her, like, her pot of pasta. She carefully walks upstairs and leaves it. It's like a dehumidifier
for
the baby.
She lets the steam of the pasta release in the baby's room. She goes, the baby should smell the pasta cooking.
Oh, yes. It's a good... it's a good for dreams. You dream of pasta, little baby. You dream of tomatoes and pasta and gnocchi.
Gnocchi. My little gnocchi.
Then we go back to Jacqueline is at Posh randomly in the dead of night.
In the parking lot at Posh in the evening.
Did she hang out there?
I don't know. It was really, it creeped me out. It was bad energy.
Creeped me out too. So Jacqueline gets a phone call and it's Sadi.
Sadi?
And she's like, hello, Jacqueline, this is Sadi. I'm Danielle's energist.
You don't know me, but I'm actually calling to inform you that I work with Danielle as an energist.
And then you see Jacqueline's face just drop and she's like, what do you want? She's like, I was hoping we could maybe talk about it a little and if you're open to it, maybe work on you with some energy of yours. And then Jacqueline has her heels up on the dashboard and she's like, sure, why the fuck not?
I was excited. Like, I thought Jacqueline would be really open to this because you can do energy work over the phone or like over Skype. But Jacqueline, I found her to be incredibly disrespectful to Sadi, the energist.
She was like playing like Brick Breaker.
Yeah.
And just like live, laugh, loving.
And being like, yeah. Or like just like trolling.
She was not
taking it seriously. And like, how are you going to diffuse the negative energy if you won't at least just like try and visualize?
I've looked up Sadi.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What's Sadi's deal? Is she still active in the Jersey?
I think so.
Wow. Maybe we should pay Sadi a visit.
I think she might be based like on the West Coast.
Smart move.
Yeah.
There's more of an audience for Sadi on the West Coast.
But I wanted to know, what was Jacqueline doing in the parking lot?
Staking out the joint?
Yeah.
It was sinister.
Kim D's like, hey, run over there real fast and just be the girl at the front desk just for a minute. I'm going to be late.
Just answer phones. I have to pay the water bill.
Yeah. Someone might be coming in there soon, but just act like everything's fine. You can just pretend for a minute. And Jacqueline's like, all right.
Jacqueline's like, okay. And she's like, can I have a shrug if I do that? And she's like, take whatever you want, sweetheart. Take whatever you want.
But when that guy, you know who he's going to be. You'll know by the look of him. When he comes in, just be like, how you doing, sir?
Yeah.
You know.
That's normal.
Offer him some water or some wine and just stay behind the desk and just don't do anything.
And Jacqueline's like, all right.
She likes to flirt with danger in that way.
So they get nowhere. Sadi
No.
Sadi does not does not do anything that helps Jacqueline.
But Saadi has a sense of humor too, because yeah. she's like, she I think knows, she how, knows crazy. How difficult Danielle is. Yeah. And then when Jacqueline's like, can you work on her a little harder? Saadi laughs.
Yeah.
But then she's like, God, I got to move to LA when yeah. she gets off the phone. Meanwhile, Teresa's gone into like full billiard room seduction.
Yeah.
She goes, Joe likes my cleavage.
My cleavage. Cleavage.
Cleavage.
Keevage.
Teresa's so Cheever. Terrified of this situation with the cops and the foreclosure and Joe that she can no longer pronounce words correctly.
She's babbling away.
Yeah.
Joe's like, why are you doing this?
Yeah. She's like, you like it?
Like, you like it like this? And he's like leaning, tree, he's like, shut up.
Tree, come on.
Come on, tree.
He goes, what did he say? He was like, I'll get it standing up if you keep doing that. Like, he basically is like, stop doing that. I'm going to get a rock hard boner.
She was just like, fuck me and like forget that I almost
yeah I almost ruined our whole scam.
The Montville police.
Yeah.
Then we cut to the Preakness.
Well, first it's another Albie scene.
Oh right.
Where he comes in to tell his parents of like what he's doing to try and get into school, and they're both just like,
great.
Caroline goes, there's no bigger life in this case than this case right now. So go out and show them what kind of attorney you can be. It's like, do you know how the legal system works?
No, they know by bribing. Yeah, they know how to bribe the police.
I know. And they're like, also, they're like, we can't do anything, but we will support him. And it's like, okay, so you're paying for his lawyer to like go and do this like shenanigans.
Yeah, where's he getting this lawyer money?
This is also, so dumb.
When he comes home, he like, they act like he doesn't live there.
Yeah.
She goes, Albie's here.
It was so weird. I did like their huge plush couch, though.
And they're both just reading.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
Love it. Back at Preakness.
Kim G. Danielle meets Kim G for cheese fries.
Mm-hmm.
And Kim G. Danielle goes, comfort food.
Kim G goes, we won't be eating any salads today.
Now we won't. Oh, she was like ready to go.
She's excited. I think she got like a hot chocolate and like french fry, cheese fries. And Kim G's just like always trying to have fun.
And Danielle takes her little claws and she goes, can I have one? And she takes one and she goes, there won't be any, it's just comfort food today. And she takes a little nibble. She just eats like one fry.
Yeah.
I'm like, ooh.
And then Danielle, they're talking about Ashley, and Danielle goes, there's ramifications for her actions.
So she goes on Facebook and she posts, unbelievable night.
Tonight was unbelievable.
And Kim G goes, oh God.
Ashley, Danielle is having a lot of physical problems after the altercation. She says her neck is
still in pain.
And then she goes, my eyes are twitching and I'm having problems looking up.
She can't look up.
She can't look up because she was assaulted by Ashley.
Yeah, she has like now has
she's like just twitchy eyed, and every time she tries to look up, she just can't do it.
Yeah, I would love to. I would. To be a fly on the wall watching Danielle try to look up and mm-hmm. that
and experiencing immense pain. Oh.
Her daughter's just staring at her while she's like, what's going on?
Jillian. You know, she went home and cried to her daughters about
like, oh, she woke them up in the dead of night.
Yeah.
Girls.
Mommy almost died tonight.
She opens into the foyer.
I need my girls with me. They're taking a fresh shit on the floor.
The Chihuahuas are all pet cemetery.
They are. Jilly keeps taking them to the pet cemetery when they die of neglect.
Yeah,
and they keep like, coming back.
Gotta stop.
Jilly.
We were only going to do that once with Muffy, and we had to kill him.
And Jilly's like, I'm lonely.
I'm lonely, though.
I just want a friend.
She's like, Christine's like, fine, one more, and that's it. And they always. And Daniel goes, the dog's dragging in soil.
You know I told you to look after that.
She doesn't even remember that the dogs are dead.
No, they've never seemed different to her.
So we cut to Ashley.
Well, I think also Danielle is saying that Ashley reminds her of herself at a young age.
Oh, yeah. They're like...
They're a kindred spirit.
They're like astral twins.
They are.
And she's like, I don't know. She's basically saying like Ashley's going to commit murder.
Yeah.
She's on a dangerous path. She thinks
that Ashley's going to go down a dangerous path that involves like beating someone with a 9mm pistol. And like, this is the first sign of her descending into a life of chaos and violence.
And I was like, I was only a few years older than Ashley herself on the first time I was arrested. And you just see Kim G be like,
what?
Kim G's like endlessly like horrified.
I really think I'm just going to have to let the law handle this. So then Ashley.
Ashley's just like.
Has gone still in full model mode. She's wearing a full face of makeup and like matching like animal print PJs.
Yeah.
And like getting like on the couch with like a pillow.
Chris goes, Ashley, get in here.
Did you notice those huge sconces next to their fireplace? They have like 6 foot tall sconces.
Yeah. Everything's
oversized. Like
gigantic.
It's crazy. I've never seen a sconce that big. I didn't even know that a sconce could be actually that big.
They're like the Lord of the Sconce.
Yeah. They love a pointy wooden sconce.
It's like Bordello Dracula.
That looks like a torch.
Yeah.
And then they don't have like a working fireplace. They just put candles in it.
They have like the Olympic torch.
So why have a huge fireplace?
Yeah. Well, we know why.
Mm.
I don't have to say it.
To dispose.
Yeah.
Ashley's a terrorist.
Ashley is just...
I'm no longer Team Ashley. Now that she's transformed, it's over.
Ashley's like, she's like, fine, I'm like a terrible daughter, I guess. And I was like, oh, shut up. Like, yeah. Don't do that. Don't
just
say that.
Listen to what they're saying. Yeah. They're saying you can't go around assaulting people. Like, do you not know what physical assault is?
And she's like, she's like, I really thought Danielle was going to hit mom, which is, again, a lie.
She thought that she did hit her. She heard that she had hit her.
And Chris goes, your mom can handle herself. And I went, no shit.
Yeah, you think? Honey, those born in Vegas can take a fist to the face.
Yeah.
So in Ashley, stride.
Ashley's so manipulative.
Well, she's also bad at manipulating.
Yeah.
Like, she's just annoying.
She's like, they really are the same.
Yeah.
Her and Danielle.
She's not even like... Like, that's so not the way to react in that kind of situation.
No.
The way to react is to be Teresa and, like, butter them up and be, like, cutesy.
Yeah.
And then, like, complimentary.
She always takes it like you're conspiring. Like, it's so hard to be me in this family.
I guess, like, I just suck then. It's like, okay, no. I hate when people do that.
Yeah.
When they jump to, like, the worst possible conclusion that has nothing to do with what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That is, like, just saying an actual lie back to you is, like... My ultimate pet peeve.
Well, I guess I'm just a fuckface now.
I guess you just like wish I would die. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I cannot even reason. That sets me on a Teresa Momo level. I go full Momo. This is why my kids. I just want to talk to you.
I just want to talk to the bitch. I just want to talk to the bitch.
The bitch. That's so insane.
I just want to talk to the bitch.
I just want to talk to the bitch. It's crazy, Momo.
I've got my eye on you. Remember Lindsay Lohan?
Mm.
I've got my eye on you.
I can't even do it.
I've got my eye on you.
I'm keeping my eye on you. The Federation.
Oh,
I am keeping my eye on you.
I will talk to the bitch. And she goes, I think, what is, I even forget their names at this point, but one of them was like,
Was it Ashley?
No, it was Jules. And then, no, but one of the girl with like pink hair.
Yeah.
Said like,
God, Gabby.
Gabby said something about like, God or something, and it was very strange and esoteric, and Lindsay went, oh, I'm going to keep my eye on you.
That's a Lohan Island reference for any of you that haven't listened to that. You can go back in time into, I think it's like season 7 of Sup, and Carrie and I cover the whole Lohan reality show. It's a must listen affair. But yeah, I can't. Also, kind of, Jacqueline has a little bit of Reese Witherspoon energy to her.
She does.
And I liked that.
You're
I'm
about
now
to be
firmly
on national
team,
television.
Team Jacqueline.
Fully Team Jack.
Anti-Ashley. I'm on an Ashley takedown.
I think I've always been anti-Ashley.
I really warmed up to her, and then she did this shit, and I was like, there was absolutely no reason for you to do any of what you did. You should be smarter than this.
I reconsidered her for a moment, rewatching this, and then I'm like, no.
I felt bad because of how Jacqueline trolls her.
But she kind of...
But also, Jacqueline is like Because when she's like, you were laughing when I said the unbelievable thing. I also just like hate that Ashley still posts on Facebook, like can't help herself.
Yeah. That was funny when she busted Jack. And then Jacqueline's like, no, I did it. No, I did not think that.
What? And like, it's like Jacqueline literally keys Ashley up. She's like, we're best friends. And then when it gets in front of Chris, she just throws her under the bed.
Because she's like, she has to secure the bag.
She has to secure the bag. And she's like holding the baby. And then Chris is like, I'm really upset with you. And you just hear Jacqueline out of frame be like, me too.
We're best friends. Post it.
I love just you. Just do it. It's so funny. Oh, my God. And
she's
then
like,
the
we're
second,
like sisters.
He's like, you ever stop posting on Facebook? And then she's like,
yeah.
Mom, you laughed at this. She's like, I did not. I didn't know such thing. And
then
like,
she runs away.
And the bottle into the baby's mouth. And she's like.
Mm-mm. And then she takes the bottle.
I didn't say anything.
And she goes, and he goes, I'm so disappointed in you, Ash. And she goes,
me too.
And then Jacqueline skitters.
Playing both sides.
And then as soon as Ashley leaves, Chris is kind of onto Jacqueline a little. You just see Jacqueline skitter away.
Yeah. Jacqueline's going to go get ready to like pull a Teresa Cleavage move on him because now he's going to have to be like satiated.
Don't bring attention to ourselves.
Chris looks hot though. He does look hot. He struts. He like stalks into the room. He's wearing a rosary.
Yeah. That was really hot.
That was so hot. He's wearing like a rosary and like a leather jacket and like a white shirt.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, daddy, tell me what I did wrong.
Yeah.
At the Wayne Country Club. I posted on Facebook today. How do you feel about it? Mm.
I posted on Facebook, daddy.
Oh, daddy, I posted something. I might do it again. On Facebook. Oh, I can't help myself.
I have two Facebooks. So if you get more than one, there might be another daddy. What are you going to do about that?
What are you going to do about it?
Fuck my face.
You going to punish me?
Daddy.
Daddy.
And then you see Jacqueline like,
yeah.
Yeah. Throw me out of the house, daddy.
Throw me out of the house. Throw me out of a moving train, daddy.
God.
Well, more to come. The season's not even near over.
We have like also so many reunion episodes, I'm sure.
They go to Italy.
Oh my God. They go to Italy. Next week, Danielle trains as Danny watches.
He goes, pretend it's Teresa.
Danielle, her like spindly arms punching.
The trip to Italy is harrowing.
God, I can't wait.
Well,
as always, thank you so much for
having me,
being here.
I'm excited for VPR.
I'm so excited for VPR. You'll hear that episode tomorrow.
Yeah.
So stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Love and light, bitch.
Bye, bitch.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.